Let's go ahead and get back into the book of Proverbs, chapter number 17, verse 7 is where we're going to begin. I hope you have a little notepad where you can jot down references of any of these proverbs that you think might be helpful for yourself to memorize or to pass on to somebody else to memorize, because this is supposed to be a resource of memorization so that we can all live godly lives by making better choices by God's standard. So Proverbs 17:7 says, "Fine speech," and the wording is actually a lip of abundance. So lots and lots of words is basically what it's talking about, is not becoming to a fool. Fools speak bad stuff. Remember, this is not an unintellectual person. This is a morally bankrupt person. For them to go on and on and on is not a good thing. And still less is false speech to a prince. So the princes are supposed to be representing justice. Some of the people that are having this written to them are the princes of Solomon's kingdom, his sons. And they need to know it's not appropriate for princes, judges, to speak falsely. So it needs to be avoided. So we don't want fools talking all the time, and we don't want princes lying about stuff. Verse number 8. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Now, this is another one of those observations. The word is literally for a present. It's that idea that sometimes people would offer a gratuity, a tip, to help ease into a more well thought of relationship with someone. You know, when you go to a restaurant, it used to be you gave the tip at the beginning of the meal to encourage your waiter to see to you, to take good care of you. Now we kind of give it at the end. We kind of hold the money hostage to make sure that they do that. But this is more talking about that ancient practice that you would sometimes hand stuff ahead of time in order to get special treatment. And it doesn't necessarily approve of it. It just notes that that's what happens here. It's like a magical procedure. Verse number 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. This is that idea that you don't have to tell everything that you know. And so when you see somebody do something inappropriate and you become aware of it, you go to them privately and talk to them. This is part of the church discipline procedure. You don't just call them out in the front of everybody. You speak to them privately to see if maybe you can help them get it taken care of with the least amount of embarrassment and inconvenience to them. Because to pass on that information to other people, that's just going to drive wedges between them. And it's the thing that bad people do, stirring the pot. And we'd rather repair relationships than damage them. Verse number 10. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Now this makes reference to corporal punishment, which was part of that judicial culture. If you did inappropriate things, the court could have you given swats. And it might be one swat, or it might be up to 40 swats, according to the Jewish law. But here, Solomon says, you know what? A foolish person doesn't really react to beatings like a wise person reacts to just being told they've done something wrong. Because a wise person wants to do the right. A wise person wants to improve their behavior, whereas a fool doesn't care. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So he doesn't acknowledge any type of authority over him. And that is why, in many cases, only the beating will make a fool behave. Verse number 11. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. So evil people look to bring chaos, difficulty, because they want their way. And that means judgment is going to have to come and deal with them, God's judgment ultimately. Verse 12, let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. So bears were common in the hills of Israel, and people understood when they were out there, you did not want to come across a she-bear and come between her and her cubs, because she will maul you to protect them. So Solomon takes that information. He says, you know what? You'd be better off to deal with the mama bear than to deal with a fool acting foolishly, because those guys are dangerous and you want to stay far away from them. Verse 13, if anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. So God is going to bring judgment on those that carry out evil, even against people who have done nice things for them. So God keeps the record. Verse 14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. Now think what we've got here in mind is like a little tiny leak, maybe in a small dam or maybe in a small container. When an argument first breaks out, a little disagreement, it's a small little trickle. But if you don't get it patched, if you don't get it repaired, it is going to get bigger and the pressure is going to build and blow into a big problem. So the advice here in this proverb is take care of the small things before they become big problems. Verse 15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to he who is. So one of the things that makes God sick, metaphorically, would be making excuses for sinful behavior, trying to make it look like it's okay to do that. And then on the other hand, making complaints and condemning righteous behavior, flipping things, making evil good and good evil. That's never appropriate. And God will deal with it. Verse number 16. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? The idea here is you can't buy wisdom. If you could, foolish people wouldn't be foolish anymore, because all it would take is a little bit of cash and they could fix their problem. Wisdom is gained by commitment to God. Remember the key verse at the very beginning of this book? The fear of he who is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. So we have to be attentive to God's word in order to gain knowledge. We can't buy it. Verse number 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. This is a little bit of parallelism here. Friend and brother are both the same type of person, and they are committed to us. They want to help us out, and they will be there when we need them. And we, if we are a friend, if we are a brother, we need to be there for them. Verse 18, one who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. Again, Solomon did not like the idea of co-signing on loans. It would be one thing for yourself to put up collateral for something you were purchasing, because then if you default, it's kind of on you. You lost what you put up as collateral. But if you put up collateral for somebody else that can't afford to put up collateral, then you've co-signed for them, and when they default, they're not out anything, you are. So it is an unwise thing to co-sign for somebody that can't afford it on themselves. And so that's a principle that I know a lot of people don't like, but it is a biblical concept. Let people only take on the debt that they can afford to deal with. Verse number 19. Whoever loves transgression loves strife. He who makes his door high seeks destruction. Now, I have to confess to you, I cannot quite sort through how making the door high is looking for trouble. But the idea is clearly indicated in the first phrase here. If you love to stir the pot, if you love to bring turmoil, then you're going to be bringing judgment on yourself. And that's, you don't want God's judgment brought on you. So don't cause trouble. Don't stir the pot. Verse number 20. A man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. So if people have bad attitudes to begin with, sinful attitudes to begin with, they're not out there looking for good. They're not out there seeking the right. They are troublemakers, and that's what they'll find. It kind of goes with that principle we've talked about before. You typically find what you're looking for. So if you're looking for good, you'll probably find some good. But if you're looking for bad and trouble, you're going to find that as well. So the proverbial advice is, look for good. Verse 21, he who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and a father of a fool has no joy. This is kind of that dad thing of saying, don't make me sad. Don't be this way that it looks like you're headed for by being a fool, because I'd rather be happy with the choices I see you making. Verse number 22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The aching of the bones, the idea that your health is tied up in your very core of your physical body is being addressed here. You want to be happy rather than depressed, because it impacts on your health. And, of course, God needs to be the source of that happiness. Verse 23, the wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice. And so we're talking about the court system here, and it was never appropriate to try to sway the outcome of a case by bribery. Because court cases should always be decided by the facts and not by persuasion of favors. And so God speaks against that in this proverb. And it's one of the reasons that justice is supposed to be blind. And I wish that our court systems could come up with a better way of ensuring that. Because too often, people with power and money get better treatment in the courts than those that can't afford very skilled lawyers, and that's not appropriate. Our court system has got to be better at being even-handed in all its decisions. Verse number 24, the discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. So being a discerning person means that you think before you act. And so discerning people look for wisdom as to how they should deal with any situation that comes up. But foolish people who are not interested in wisdom, especially the wisdom of God, they just go willy-nilly through life. They keep their eyes out there on the horizon trying to figure out, how am I going to get where I want to go? And they're flying by the seat of their pants, and that's never a good thing. Verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. So this proverb is intended to poke at young people to make them feel they should at least not shame their parents and put a little effort into living their lives properly. Because if they live the foolish life, mom and dad are not going to be happy. And you need to make mom and dad happy, okay? Verse 26, to impose a fine on a righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for his uprightness. Now, what this is talking about is you don't punish people for doing the right thing. Because fines, like taxes, any type of negative imposition from the government, is intended to stifle that behavior. And so you don't want to stifle good behavior. So the government, as Romans chapter 13 says, is supposed to represent God and punish those who do wrong, according to God's standards, and reward those who do the right thing. And so we need to get our government back onto this sort of standard. Verse 27, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. We've got to keep calm as we make our decisions of what to do in life, and keep our mouths under control. It is too often that people blow the situation up more because they pop off whenever something happens that they don't like, instead of counting to 10 or just biting their tongue or all those other proverbs that we use in our own society before they react. We can't be knee-jerk in dealing with life. We've got to think it through. Verse 28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Again, gets more to that idea. Don't just talk all the time. Keep your mouth shut, because even foolish people that follow that rule will sometimes look like, hey, that's a pretty wise person. They're cool, calm, composed, even with the things that they're having to face right now. Chapter 18. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. And this speaks to the idea that you need to get input from other people on decisions, on big decisions in particular. Because if you only go from your personal life experience, that's limited. If you only go from your own knowledge base, that's limited. And you may end up making a poor choice because of those limitations. But if you cast out into your sphere of relationships, then you will find a broader experience base, a broader information base, and therefore a better chance to make a good choice. Verse 2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. And boy, oh boy, isn't that true on our social media. They won't listen to sound reasoning. All they want to do is sound off. And that's not good in most cases, especially for a fool who has no moral grounding to help them make proper pronouncements. Verse 3, when wickedness comes, contempt also comes. And with dishonor comes disgrace. So bad behavior kind of feeds on itself and brings even more bad behavior. And when we see that, we get frustrated by it. Verse number 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. So there's more than just surface in somebody who thinks through stuff. And so we should consider the deeper issues of each circumstance and situation. And again, dig down deep or delve down deep into wise people's thinking processes, because that's going to help us come to a better choice. Verse 5, it is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. Now keep in mind, Solomon is writing all this for the benefit of his sons, one of which is going to be king, others of which will be serving as judges in the kingdom. And it's never right to throw a court case to the wicked just because maybe they're your buddy, or they belong to the same political party as you, or they are married to your daughter, or they have some sort of financial stake in your company. That's not appropriate. Justice is supposed to be blind. And you're definitely wrong to take justice away from the righteous people. That's never appropriate because it stifles their good behavior for the future. Verse number 6, a fool's lips walk into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. See, that we've got a proverb in our time period about never write a check with your mouth that your body can't cash, right? Or something along that line, or your face can't cash. Fools will say things that are going to get them in trouble because they're all about themselves and not about others. Verse number 7, a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. So more on that exact same topic. Verse 8, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels, and they go down into the inner parts of the body. Now, that's not necessarily a good thing here. This is one of those observation proverbs where, yeah, people like to gossip. They liked all those little juicy tidbits about who's sleeping with whom and who's done this or that or the other thing. But you know what? That's not good as a diet. You should not be living off of this gossip of the sinful lives of other people. Instead, when you hear such things, you should be concerned about those people. Whether or not it's true, in which case they need some assistance, or it's a lie, in which case they need to be defended against those lies. Verse number 9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. So laziness is almost as bad as actually going out and destroying the work of other people. It's just not appropriate behavior. It needs to be avoided. Verse number 10, which I always think about my wife when I come to this one, because it's one of her memory verses that she learned several years ago, and she really likes it. The name of he who is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. So God's name means he who is. That's what I've been trying to do as we go through the Bible. When we come across the word Lord in that special typeset, that's the divine name Yahweh, which means he who is. Well, if you run to him, then you can be safe because he's the one that's always been. And he will protect his people from judgment and destruction. So let's be safe in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, of course, his name, Yehoshua, means he who is salvation. And so we run to his name all the time to be safe. Verse number 11. A rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. So city walls, high city walls, strong city walls were intended to protect you from dangers on the outside. And so rich people think that their wealth will protect them from all the dangers of this world. It's not always true, though, is it? Because that wealth can dissipate overnight, given certain circumstances. And so really, the previous proverb is the one we need to go to. And that is, we need to put our trust in the name of the Lord. He needs to be our defense and our protection, not wealth. Verse 12, before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. So this is kind of a variation on the pride comes before destruction, a haughty heart before a fall. The preferred thing is that we are humble before God and before people and let Him raise us up at just the right time for the honors that are due. Peter kind of talks about that. Verse 13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. This is one of the proverbs I have had to memorize because sometimes when I'm hearing people talk and telling me issues, I want to fix it right away. And sometimes I'll jump ahead. My wife really hates it when I do this and she gets after me about it. And I try to go back to this to remind myself, you need to stop and listen to the whole thing first and then respond. All right. So everybody memorize Proverbs for your own benefit. And then finally, verse 14, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? So getting physically sick, that's bad, but you can get back from that. But having your spirit crushed is a difficult prospect. And so we need to avoid crushing people's spirits.